Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up or shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. Playoff edition, Talking with TD. Who would have thought we would be in this situation? Not you. Not me, anybody else, except for the guys in that building. But you know what? Nevertheless, I am thanking the man upstairs. Another week of work. Why? Because I love what I do. We are back another week. As I said, I got my man Elijah on the wheels of steel, hitting the switches on him. Well, I tell you, Elijah, we kind of dove into a rabbit hole going over this music, but here we are, so it's all good, man. I hope you definitely make sure you're able to tune in to some of the rappers that are the old school hip hop cats that I put you on to. But, you know, now we have to put some folks on to some game that's going on with this Dolphins, right? Dolphins. I have to mention the Dolphins. Why? Because they're the ones that set this matchup up, right?
Well, of course. We can thank the Dolphins for not having to travel to Arrowhead.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, though? I was licking my chops, thinking about steaks, you know, that Midwestern thing. But it's all good. We'll get that
trade-offs
at the combine.
It's the trade-offs. Yeah, you can get that at a later time.
And you know what? It's a business trip. So you got to focus on first things first. So what we're going to do is look at the offense. And, folks, as always, we have the play breakdowns for you. I got KB, Kevin Byard. I got A.J. Brown, too. Two of the most dynamic players on the team. We're going to break those down. We got plenty of quotes. This is going to be an awesome show. Again, we're going to start with the offense. And one of the things that really stands out to me is the balance that they found. Okay. And when you look at Derrick Henry, he's obviously someone that we'll talk about. But I want to start with the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, and the confidence that he's playing with. This is a guy that's seeing the whole football field. You saw examples of that twice against the Texans. He's able to extend plays, and he's running not with the purpose of running the ball, like getting rushing yards. He's running with the purpose of extending the plays, giving his guys time to get open. And you ask any DB, they'll always tell you, it's tough covering anybody for 5 to 6 seconds. But that's what they had to do a couple times against Tannehill. Both times were touchdowns. That one where he found Mykal Pruitt, I think that's an example of the confidence that he has, because – you see him in the pocket. He tries to step up. He slides. He moves. He runs to his right, but throws to his left. That's one of the ones where you'll see a coach on the sideline, like, shaking his head no, and then all of a sudden you see him putting his hands up like, yes. It was a card you do not throw against your body. But this is the result of a player that's supremely confident. The other one that really showed his confidence was the throw to A.J. Brown. And it's not only confident in his ability, Tannehill that is, it's confident in the receiver's ability. And this is something we talked about during training camp, because that's something that you wanted to see Mariota do a little bit more. And he started to do it when he was just putting it up there to Corey Davis and saying, hey, go make a play for me. And they were connecting all the highlight catches that they were doing in training camp. But then you have this one that Tannehill, man, he just put that thing up there. Corey Davis was double covered. A.J. Brown was double covered. And he just found a way to make the catch. It's funny, when you talk to Mike Vrabel, one of the things he said was that he wasn't even expecting Brown to make the catch. He thought it was just a matter where he's going up to draw the face guarding call. And that's actually going to be the play we break down. But getting back to Ryan Tannehill, he led the league in passer rating, yards per attempt. Passer rating was 117.5. Yards per attempt, 9.59. He was third in the league in completion percentage. Folks, only two other guys have had a 70% completion percentage and at least a nine-yard average per attempt. You know who those two guys are? Sammy Ball and cool Joe Montana and Ryan Tannehill. What the heck, yo? You got Ryan Tannehill, Sammy Ball, and Joe Montana. But, I mean, why is that the case? Why is it the case? I'll tell you, when you look at A.J. Brown, the yards after catch, that's something that he is able to generate. And he's able to catch that short pass and take it 40 yards. Those are what you call free yards, right? But at the same time, Ryan Tannehill is making an excellent throw, hitting him in stride, allowing him to accelerate to the football and through it and getting those yards after the catch. It's interesting because I asked Mike Vrabel about that, and he actually gave a similar answer. Let's hear what Vrabel had to say when I asked him about the high completion percentage and high average yards per attempt.
Well, I mean, I think guys have done a good job, breaking tackles. I mean, we threw a 10-yard route to Johnny that turned into a touchdown. We've thrown some shorter routes that have turned into long games. We've thrown the ball downfield. Guys have caught it. So again, we appreciate his accuracy. I think it's a team, or it's the unit that helps him out. And I think that there's always, we talk about protection and we talk about everything else, and it's got to be, the receivers are getting open, the quarterback's delivering the ball on timing, and we need a clean pocket. And when those things happen, it's a positive play. And when they don't, when some of those things break down, then, we're either getting rid of the football or we're taking sacks, which are negative plays, which lead to third and long.
Well, I tell you, man, he's a true coach, right? He won't let you praise any individual player. He's always going to branch it out to the rest of the unit. That's a team approach, though. You have to respect that. But I'm going to keep it real with you, all right? 4 receiving touchdowns of 50 yards or more. That's what you have from Arthur James Brown. The last receiver to do that? You know who the last receiver to do that?
In a Titans uniform? Or?
Just period.
Actually,
you know what? He wore a Titans uniform at one point. So we're talking about as a rookie receiver having 4 receptions of 50 yards or more for touchdowns.
Oh, Randy Moss.
That's right.
There we go. Had 3 right. In one game.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanksgiving game.
He had 5 that year. We're going back to 1998. Before that, 1983, Willie Gault. Let me tell you something. I used to use Willie Gault in Madden 95.
Ooh.
With the 83 Raiders.
Speed kills.
And that's exactly what it would say. But then another guy did it in 1973. So it's been a long time since something like that happened. We know A.J. Brown, 1,000-yard season. The last Titans rookie receiver to do that was 1986, Ernest Givens. I told him about that, and he didn't recall watching Givens play. I was like, bro, let me tell you something. Warren Moon, Haywood Jeffries, Curtis Duncan. This was a squad, man. So it's always fun talking to these younger guys and putting them on to the older players, including their coach. But that being said, A.J. Brown has had a season for the ages when you're talking about Titans rookie receivers. And you know what, Elijah? I sat right in this chair back in, I think it was March or February, and Calvin sat right where you're sounding, and he hit that button right there, and we called A.J. Brown, and he was on the show. That's what we do. The draft is coming up, too, so we're going to make sure that we give you the same type of coverage that we did. We had 4 out of the 6 guys the Titans picked on this show. Okay, so I'm just giving you a teaser to understand what's to come. That being said, I think it's time to break down this play with A.J. Brown. So I want you guys to hear what old Hollywood Brown, A.J. 1K, I guess he calls himself. Check it out.
So you got the motion, they declare whether or not it's zone or man. Well, what's going through your mind through this process right now?
I saw one safety. I saw one safety, and then initially thought it was cover 3, but then he dropped back. The other safety dropped back. So, it'd be like cover 2 or quarters. And I really just had to beat my safety across his face on my side and try to keep it high. But Ryan took a little while to throw the ball. I don't know why he did that, but I was just trying to get over there as fast as I could. And when I saw the ball and I saw the other dude, I was trying to at least get behind him so I can at least try to have a chance to make a play on the ball.
So was that kind of a benefit just continuing to bust it and make sure you get to your spot, so to speak?
Oh, most definitely. I was just trying to beat my safety because I knew he was going to be coming really hard. He had depth on me, so it was going to be bang, bang. And he took a while, and somehow I made the catch in inbounds. I don't know how.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because it was, the toe drag was there, and it was almost like, and I know sometimes, having played the position, sometimes you just put your hands out there and you catch it, and you don't really know what happened, but the toe drag there was really good.
I know I had to get my feet down. I know I had to get my feet down before I go out of bounds, and in order to play, I kind of like peeked to the sideline, see how much far I had, see how much room I had. And I knew I was running out of real estate fast, so, and the ball was steady going over. So, kind of playing baseball kind of helped me out a lot, tracking the ball, stuff like that. So, yeah, most definitely. So, when I got behind him, the ball just fell in my hands, and feet did the rest.
And then in the end, you kind of shook your head and you put your hands, like, gave him that Jordan type of.
Because I was like, that's crazy right there. I just did that. So, I was like, that's crazy. I was on the sideline. I was like, I still don't know how I caught that ball. So,
Now, as far as going against Gilmore, you had a couple of days to. What have you seen that he brings? Like, what makes him such a good corner?
He's really talented. I think he's up for a couple of awards, and basically, like, he's patient. He's gonna use his hands and feet. Like I said, this is one of the best corners I'm faced. He's really special.
Did you get to see last year's game? Because he traveled with Corey Davis, and Corey had a pretty solid game against him. Have you watched that game?
I haven't, but Corey has been talking to me about it. So I was trying to give me a little tips and stuff like that. So if he decides to travel with me, cool.
So that was A.J. Brown breaking down his 47-yard catch. I could have talked to him about the touchdown, but I just thought the catch that he made, and after the game, he was like, man, I don't understand how I did it. And that is really how it is sometimes. You'll do something, you're just like, hey, you just got to put your hands up like that emoji, right? Where you're standing there with your hands up. That's how it is. So one of the other things he did was kind of lead into the Patriots defense, and we'll get into that for a second. But I would be remiss if I did not talk about that game and not get into Derrick Henry. And I almost speechless. 211 yards. The guy just continued to keep pounding and pounding and pounding. And what better way to take over the rushing lead than to have a long touchdown run? And it's funny because Derrick Henry, he has what I call that Jerry Rice speed, right? Because you time it and it's not that good. It's okay. But you put it in pads and you put it on the field and you actually ask it to do what you're supposed to do. And he doesn't get caught. A healthy Derrick Henry doesn't get caught from behind. And speaking of a healthy Derrick Henry, he has been absent from the practice report. That's a definitely positive sign. Drop a little nugget here for you, too. Derrick Henry is the first rushing title leader to not lead the league in rushing until the very last game. The last guy to do that was Barry Sanders.
He's pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad at all. So, and this matchup this weekend is going to be interesting because, this is going to be the third time the leading NFL rusher is going against the top total defense. Of course, the last couple times did not work out well for the leading rusher, but we'll see what happens. That being said, let's get into this matchup a little bit here and beating the Patriots. For me, if you want to talk matchups, Jonnu Smith, Patrick Chung. That's the matchup that you absolutely have to take advantage of. If you go on Twitter, I posted a 2-minute video showing a play that kind of broke it down. Make sure you check that out because this is what we do, right? We don't just report. We talk shop to the fullest degree because that's talking with TD. It's an opportunity for Jonnu Smith to step up. And the reason why I think Jonnu Smith is very important is because when you look at the Patriots, every single time you face them, you have to expect them to do everything they can to take out what you do best, right? So they're naturally going to work to take out the passing game or the running attack, right, with Derrick Henry. But when it comes to the passing game, A.J. Brown, you're going to see him in cat coverage, or rather Stephon Gilmore in cat coverage with him, which means A.J. Brown goes to the left, guess who's on the left? Goes to the right, guess who's on the right? He's in the slot, guess who's in the slot? The thing about Stephon Gilmore is he is one of those corners that's good enough to excel in the slot where you have the two-way go, as well as on the boundary, right, on the outside where you could funnel a guy because you have an extra defender in the sideline. I'm really curious to see how that works out. I know from talking to AJ, he tends to adjust his splits to the routes that he's running. I'm sure that's something they're going to have to work on making sure. And it's not just AJ. Let me not say that the Titans receivers as a whole do that a lot. But either way, they are still getting open. So I'm going to be watching for that. And then Corey Davis, right? He has to continue his excellence against the Patriots. That last game, man. And this is that game is one that I go to so frequently when I talk about Corey Davis, the ability he has, and just the fact that he is a guy that if you focus on getting him the football, you're going to get results. Second play of the game, Corey Davis was in the slot on the left, and they ran a deep over. They connected that. Then, or rather, it was pass interference. Then they connected for a 42-yard gain. Actually, from him on the opposite side, they did everything they could to get Corey Davis involved early. At that point, he was the dog in the receiving crew, right? Obviously, things have changed with 11 on the team, but the fact of the matter is they attacked Stephon Gilmore. Now, I will say Gilmore is playing better this year than he did last year. He was still a top-level corner last year, but Corey Davis ate his lunch. The funny thing about that, if you look at Corey Davis overall, I believe it's 4 career touchdowns against the Patriots. There's something about the Patriots just seems to make him elevate his game. I asked him about that in true Corey Davis fashion. He said there was nothing to it. But he dropped a nice little nugget, a nice little sign of that dog that we talk about at the end of it. So check this one out.
In the past, now I'm looking forward to you know, facing him again and seeing what we can do against these guys. We got a lot of confidence in this group and in this team, so it's going to be a good matchup for us.
What is it about Gilmore that stands out so much?
All around, he's a great player. He's physical, he's a good athlete whenever he needs to. So it'll be a good challenge, you know, not for me, only for me, but you know,
right.
You know, when we practice against him, so he kind of knows, you know, what he's going up against. We've seen him, he watched the film, you know, he's a great corner. I will take our matchup. I will take our guys
over anybody. I like the confidence. But it's not only about passing the football, right? Let's face it. This Titans team is built upon running the football. And I want to say this Titans team is built upon running the football. You talk to defensive guys, they'll tell you the way 22 runs the ball, that inspires them. Offensive line, they'll tell you the way he runs the ball, that inspires them. This is built on running the football. So that being said, offensive line, early in the game, you got to fire off the ball. You have to reestablish the line of scrimmage. Now, granted, that's going to be tough because you look at some of the guys they have up front. Danny Shelton is a 345-pound dancing bear. I mean, this is a guy I remember Senior Bowl seeing him do I don't know the dance, but it's something that the Samoans do. You know, he was doing the dance. Very agile for a big man. I'm not going to say he's as good as Haloti Ngata because I would be telling a huge lie, but you're talking about that type of ability, right? So the key to running the football is getting him off the block. He tends to – and he'll shade sometimes. I asked Coach Vrabel about that, but a lot of times in watching him, he's covering the center. All that means is – if the center stands up, he's standing up right in front of the center, right? So when they get down in their stance, it's mano a mano. Ben Jones, hey, eat that tough guy cereal this week because you're going to need every bit of it because Danny Shelton is, like I said, a bear. So you got to reestablish the line of scrimmage. That's one area because he's trying to two-gap. He's controlling two gaps, so you got to make sure that you get him off the blocks. Lawrence Guy is also a pretty solid defender up front. You look at some of the other guys you have. I mean, you know, John Simon is someone that this team had taken interest in. last year. He went to the Patriots, and that has seemed to stick. So there are opportunities that you have to take advantage of when running the football. But, again, you got to be careful with Danny Shelton. Now, here's the other thing, just to get back to the passing game for a second. You'll see a lot of times they'll overload. They'll go with an overload blitz. All that means is they try to outnumber the amount of guys you have in protection with guys coming after the quarterback. So there are times, especially in the Dolphins game, I saw that, where they had 54, 58, and 52 all on the same time. So you had 58 coming off the edge, 54 coming. He had that B-gap pressure. And then you had 52 coming as well. So you'll see that. When you see all three of those guys in the same spot, you have to think quickly and understand, okay, you know what? As a receiver, I see that. I got to go hot, right? Because when a team is blitzing you, it's all about replacing where the blitz came from. So you got to go hot. And you have to be on the same page with your receiver because, or excuse me, your quarterback. Because if you're not, that's how you see those throws and you're like, what the heck was the quarterback thinking? When it's not what was the quarterback thinking, it's what was the receiver thinking, right? Because sometimes if the receiver doesn't go hot and run to that spot, the quarterback's throwing to, that ball is being thrown and a DB or somebody can intercept it. So it's not always on the quarterback. Let me say that when you talk about the interceptions. So that is something you have to take note of. This is a team, man, they'll go to zero blitz. They trust their guys. Obviously, I would trust Stephon Gilmore. J.C. Jackson is a solid corner. Again, the matchup, Patrick Chung, Jonnu Smith. At the same time, you got Jo'Wan Williams, right, a local product. He's going to come in, and he'll probably be matched up some in the slot. I think when they go man, J.C. Jackson is going to go against Corey Davis. Obviously, the Titans, right, they use a lot of 11 personnel. They'll use some 12 personnel, right, two tight ends with Michael Pruitt at fullback. And then you'll also see, you know, just 22 personnel, right? So they're going to show different looks, but regardless, the Patriots have personnel to match up to it. And here's the other thing. Creativity is key. Chase Winovich is another guy that they use, and you'll see times they do what's called an amoeba blitz, right? So everybody on the line of scrimmage will be standing up. The linebackers, so what happens is you have Danny Shelton at the zero technique, right? That's he's covering the center. And then the two gaps to the left of him will be one to the left, one to the right. They'll be open. And then you'll have Lawrence Guy and John Simon either like a four eye, like just inside of the in between the guard and the tackle, or over top of him. Those other gaps that are open to the left and to the right of Danny Shelton will be controlled by the linebackers. All of these guys will be standing up. Why is that key? You don't know which guy's coming, right? So not knowing which guy's coming, it's a little bit harder to check, right? So sometimes they'll show it to where those guys, the linebackers, they'll blitz the gaps. And Danny Shelton, a drop back in coverage. Yes, a 340-plus pound man will drop back in coverage. He just drops back in that passing lane because they know, okay, I, as an offensive player, I'm going to go where the blitz left, right, where the defender left in the blitz. So they drop Danny Shelton back to disrupt that play. So there's a lot of creativity that goes into it. Look, man, Bill Belichick, 90 Bills, that was a really good offense. He stopped them. The Rams, that was a really good offense. He stopped them. This isn't the first time Belichick has gone against a balanced offense. He didn't stop the 2017 Eagles, though. So we'll see what happens. Now, mind you, the star of that game was the tight end, Zach Ertz. So let's see if Jonnu Smith, this is the challenge to you, Jonnu. My challenge is to step up and be the guy that you're capable of being against the Patriots. We're going to go ahead to a break, but before we do, Tennessee tickets, I understand there are no more home games, but you can still go see Vanderbilt games. You can see Preds games. There are different events here in Nashville, TennesseeTickets.com. Be sure to go there. No purchase fees, right? You just see the price on there. The price you see is the price you pay. And talking with TD, be sure to subscribe it. Search it. Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. Listen, man, I will love it. Elijah will love it. Give us that 5-star rating. We'll go to a break. We'll be right back.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
I'm the one man on me, Ace on. I never been tooken out.
All right, we are back from the break to the ODB. That's right, Brooklyn Zoo. It's going to be just like that when the Titans go up to Foxborough. It's going to be that type of crazy situation, but I think they're going to be ready. Before we get into that, we have to look at this defense because they went down to Houston and they had a tough start to the game. A.J. McCarron allowed this team, or led that team, to their first opening series drive, touchdown drive, that is, of the year. It happened against the Titans. Daggummit. Backup quarterback did it. They have to tighten that up. Dean Pease talked about that a little bit on Wednesday, just how, you know, he feels like they're playing pretty good. They're solid defense, but there is a problem in the beginning of the game. That is something that surfaced earlier in the year. I think it was 3 straight games, opening series for the opposing team. Ended up in a touchdown. They flipped the coin. It's tails never fails. Defense, or rather, they call, you know, what they want to do. They're going to defer. Defense sets the tone. But you guys set the tone for your team, not the other team. And that's something that they did last year. They need to focus on that this year. So that's something they have to get tight. I almost said tightened up. It's just a natural phrase that I always use. So I'll say it this way. They have to get together. Tackling issues, that's a big thing too. There were multiple tackling issues that this team had against the Texans. Look, you have to shore that up before going up there to New England next week or this weekend. If you have a tackle for a loss, daggummit, make it a tackle for a loss, right? Don't allow a tackle for a loss to become a gain of 1 yard, a gain of 2 yards. This is going to be a close game. Every single yard is going to matter. We talked to Mike Vrabel a little bit about that on Monday. I really wanted to make sure that he addressed the tackling issue and whether or not it was something that you just push away and move on from, being as though that game is over, or is this something that you harp upon? Where is the balance? This is what Coach had to say about that.
Well, no, you can't just flush it away. I mean, you have to go out there and do it. You have to practice it. You have to understand why tackles are being missed. And sometimes it's leverage, sometimes it's hopping, sometimes it's leaving your feet. Sometimes it's crossing over. So we try to identify what those are. And then all of those I know happened yesterday. And then get them corrected.
Thanks.
So along with that, the thing that he didn't mention that has to be mentioned is rallying to the football. Okay, you have to rally to the football as a team. You have to go out there. I mean, LT said it. You got to go out there and be like crazed dogs. And if a wounded animal is in the field, a bunch of crazed dogs, they're going to go surround it and attack it. It's just the same against the Patriots. So they have to make sure that they do that. I think it is something that they could get shored up. Linebackers got to make sure that they get busy, man. They have to be extra involved against the run, against the pass, because you got James White out of the backfield. Mike Vrabel talked about James White being able to get vertical so well in addition to running some of the other routes that he runs. And it's really important when you're going against a guy like that. You got to take that away because I believe he has 71 receptions in the regular season. That tells me that he is a receiver for Tom Brady. This team is void of receiving options. So that makes his ability to contribute, James White, that is, much more significant. But before we get into that, I also want to shout a couple guys out, Jarrell Casey, Kamale Correa. These guys, especially Correa, he has just continued to rise and rise and rise from a week-to-week basis. He's done an excellent job setting an edge. He's getting tackles for loss. He had a couple sacks. He had one in this game. So Correa is definitely playing ball. Jarrell Casey, you see him lining up in multiple spots. He had a sack also. and that's going to be key this week. And one of the things that also surfaced was a Kevin Byard INT. Now, he ended up tied with a bunch of other guys for second in the NFL in interceptions, but he is first since 2016 in interceptions overall. No one has had more than them. This is why he's the highest paid player. Our second breakdown is going to be the Kevin Byard interception. And it, I mean, it wasn't an outstanding play, but you know what? I like to talk to Kev Byard. So let's go ahead and see how that one worked.
I'm going to go over this because this is an excellent example of what I say about you, the GPS that you have for the football. So this is your pick, the fifth of the year. Can you take me through it?
Yeah, so it just covered two, man. It's something that we was running. We ran, I think, back-to-back plays almost. And it's crazy. So it's fourth down, and I had a safeties coach, and I be telling the younger guys this all the time. I had a safeties coach my first 2 years in the league, and he said, when you uncover two, man, the magic number to get to is 22 yards. You get 22 yards of depth, you can break anywhere, you can make any play on the field. Because if you're that deep, the quarterback's not gonna throw the outside vertical. So you can really be able to start, you know, settling yourself down to be able to break either way, downhill, going towards the middle of the field. And I think right there, the ball was on the 30 and I got to the 8 yard line. So that's 22 yards. And last year when I picked all the passes against the Giants, it was 22 yards as well.
So, that's what I was going to ask you about, exactly, if it was
It was 22 yards. So once I get to 22 yards, I'm really eyeing on the quarterback, trying to see where he's throwing the ball. So once I see the tight end break outside, I know the ball's going there. And I was able to make a really good break. And, you know, fortunately, you know, the tight end kind of deflected the ball up in the air for a little bit for me to be able to catch up and make a play. And I just made a diving catch. I was kind of upset with myself the week before against the Saints.
Yeah.
I missed the diving catch, so I kind of had to make up for it right there.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring up last week against the Saints, because the last couple of weeks I found myself doing something I do very rarely.
Right.
And I had to be critical.
For sure. You know what I mean? Most definitely.
I'm always quick to praise you,
so I
have to make sure I balance it.
Most definitely.
What have you been able to do just to kind of like push that aside and move on from it, but still learn from it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's pro football. You know, I've had a lot of success in my career just over the past few games. And I did feel like the Saints were one of my poorly played games. I didn't make enough plays for my team. And I was critical of myself. And I'm always critical of myself. But you have to keep it moving. You have to keep moving forward. If I kind of say if that's one of my worst games that I played in my career, then that's fine. I had to keep moving and understand that, you know, the plays are going to come. I just had to make them when they come to me. So, and I kind of think about it, man. If I'd have caught that interception against Breeze, man, it might not have been as worst game as it was. So that's just my mindset, just always moving forward and understanding my team's going to need me every single week.
Now, when you have the guys in front of you, whether it be the interior guys, the linebackers as well, how important is it for them to make sure that they have their hands mirror Brady's hand? He raises his hand, they raise theirs.
Nah, for sure, because I think a lot of it has to do, like, getting pressure into the pocket. And we showed a couple examples on film. Like, guys are getting into the pocket or whatever and getting their hands up, and Brady is pumping it. And then somebody else is coming rushing out the outside, and he may duck, take a sack or stuff like that. So, really, the main thing is when Brady is – because, I mean, like I said, when I played this man in 2017, this guy was like a tree back there, just standing back there, standing tall, firing it off. If somebody can get into the middle of the pocket, get their hands up, make him pump, make him think twice, and change his arm angle. I mean, it changes everything. So it's going to be very important for our linebackers, right, if it's tight end or say just tight ends blocking, be able to hug and making sure that we're trying to get into the pocket and get him off his spot.
Cool. Appreciate it.
I thought it was funny because he mentioned that Giants interception, and I swear to you, I was thinking of that when I was watching. I was like, this reminds me of that Giants one where he baited Eli to go to, I think it was Sterling Shepard on the sail route. And the sail route was just a deep outbreaking route. And you had a deeper route over top of it designed to kind of push KB back. But the thing was, it goes back to the depth. He said as a safety, you always want to get 22 yards deep, but you still have to be able to click and close on it, right? So when I say click and close, you have to be able to come out of your back pedal and drive on the football and pick it off. But he was able to do that in this game because of the tip against the Giants. He just baited Eli. Eli made a throw, and he came in there and picked it off. So outstanding analysis by Kevin Byard. And these are the kind of things that make him the best safety in football, right? Make him a guy who's always around the ball. So I appreciate KB for jumping on and talking that. And if you notice in the end, we talked about matching hands. That's something, folks, that is absolutely imperative this week. Jeffrey Simmons did that against the Texans, where you have to understand if your pass rush is not going to get home, still impact the quarterback. Eli, Elijah, you mentioned sacks to Dean Pees. He's going to tell you, yeah, he loves sacks, but for him, he wants to impact the quarterback. If a sack is doing that, so be it, but he wants to impact the quarterback. And the way you do that is by clogging up the passing lanes. You want to make it more difficult for him to be able to get the ball to the receivers, especially the ones that run the short, quicker routes that you see the Patriots doing. It's all about timing and rhythm. So for me, if I was in charge of this defense, I'm telling my DBs, listen, man, get up there, press them. Make them chatter at the line of scrimmage. So that way Brady is filtering through his reads, which is doing what? Giving the guys like Derek Roberson, who had another sack. Derek Roberson, by the way, is averaging a sack every 10 snaps. I don't know, man. Somebody sitting in this chair right here said that Derek Roberson was a guy to watch. And I got some pushback. He did struggle in camp, but he's balling now. So that's something that, you know, got to shout out Roberson. But getting back to just that ability to match hands. Wesley Woodyard last year, he got a sack against Tom Brady that way. I remember talking to him about it. Brian Arakpo actually was the one that made, and he was at the game this past week, by the way, Brian Arakpo and Michael Griffin. But Arakpo was the one that made that play happen. Why? Because what he did is he stopped his pass rush. He saw Brady go through his read, and he went to the right side, and he raised his arm up. And that's another thing. When a quarterback, like, they'll pat the ball. When they take the arm off, the hand off the ball, that thing's ready to come out. So you got a key on that. So when he did that, Arakpo, if you go back and watch it, Elijah, he raised his hand, Brady tucked it back down, and whoever that was coming from the outside flushed him just a little bit to the left, and Wesley Woodyard was right there to eat him up. He got the sack that way. And we actually broke that play down here on Talking with TD after that game back last November. But I wanted to just kind of reopen the scab for the Patriots and just kind of make the thing a little bit fresher for you guys so you can hear Wesley Woodyard talk about it. So we're going to get to Wesley Woodyard. I want you to hear what he had to say about going against Tom Brady and the best thing to do against a guy like that.
So one of the things that you said last year was you mentioned how Arakpo made sure he matched his hands with Brady's hands, yeah. And that made him tuck it back, and you were able to get the sack right. That way. Can you just kind of elaborate on that?
On that play or just
on that play or even just the concept of making sure you do that against him?
Yeah, you know, of course, you know, coming down the middle of the pocket is something that always affects your top-tier quarterbacks, you know. But to be able to match his hand whenever a quarterback throws it, like getting ready to throw the ball, block his vision, quarterback's always thinking of that. If I can't see clearly, I can't throw the ball. Or his hand is in the way, that's a chance for a tilt batted ball. So it just goes hand in hand. Doing your job, rushing properly, allows other guys to get interceptions or get sacked. So that just goes hand in hand. It all matches together.
So you would say that's something that should especially be an area of focus this week?
It is. It's something that we focus on every week. That's something that all our coaches always talk about. Matter of fact, we start off some practices with mirror the hand drills. Yeah. And that's something that should be taught throughout the league. No jumping up when the quarterback pump fakes you. It just teaches good habits.
Yeah. And you're the OG of the group, right? You know, you got this guy next to you and Evans. You know, I talked to him. He said he was trying to make sure he stays even keeled. It's hard to do that in a big game like this. How do you go about making sure that your guys, your crew, just keeps it in perspective?
You know, it's a playoff. I told a couple guys yesterday that the tempo and the speed level goes up once you get in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you take the approach as it's the same format of game, but at the same time, you realize what's at stake. And that's all the hard work you put in the offseason. You got a chance to get in here. So everything is magnified. Any mistakes that are being made, a team is going to pick up on it. Any good plays that happen, they're going to be even bigger in the postseason. So just realizing the moment that you have at hand and not letting it slip away.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And that's words spoken from my OG. You know, Wesley Woodyard laid it down. That's exactly what has to happen. And again, going back to the importance of the interior pressure, that's why Jeffrey Simmons, Jarrell Casey, they're huge this week. They have to collapse that pocket because the other thing that happens, especially with a quarterback like Brady, when you have that outside pressure coming, he likes to step up. And that's when he's stepping up to deliver the ball down the field. He doesn't want to hit his hand on the center's helmet. So if you got Jeffrey Simmons blowing him up and driving him back, again, it's not getting a sack, but it's still impacting the quarterback. This is what you have to do. Another way that you have to impact the quarterback, and this is why Adoree Jackson, if he could come back, this is why it's huge. Because when you blitz, you tend to put the guys in coverage in one-on-one matchups. Adoree Jackson is a solid cover guy for them. So that's big time. Why do I mention that? Because you're going to blitz Logan Ryan off the edge, a former Patriot. You're also going to spike those gaps with your interior guys, specifically Rashawn Evans. He has an ability to blitz the interior. I wouldn't do that as much with Jayon Brown. Why? Because Jayon Brown is the one I want. If I'm having the linebackers cover and I'm blitzing, he's the one I want covering James White out of the backfield. I will also say this. We go back to setting the tone. That Patriots game last year, Kenny Vaccaro, first series, came up and body rocked James White. That set the tone that this Titans team was there to play. Very important to do that. I think this is a game that is winnable for the Titans. Now, I'm not saying that it's an automatic win. It's a layup because it's definitely not that. But these are some of the things that they need to do defensively. We're going to go to a break. We're going to come right back and talk just a little bit about some intangibles. So make sure you stay tuned.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD.
This is what started it, Elijah, right? This is why we sat here for like 40 minutes going over.
40 minutes at least.
Yeah. Just looking at everything, man, as far as the old school hip-hop. But, hey, this is a football show, so we're going to talk some football. We are back from the break, and it's time to talk a little bit about some of the intangibles, right? Because every time you go against the Patriots, there's this whole mystique, this whole aura that is associated with it. But you know what? It's not an issue with the Titans. Why? Because this is a team that has already been in that situation, right? Mike Vrabel played for the Patriots. Logan Ryan played for the Patriots. Deion Lewis played for the Patriots. Malcolm Butler played for the Patriots. Now, we know he's not playing. And, folks, please stop asking me. He's not coming back, okay? He's not. Not this year. John Robinson was in the front office. Dean Pease called shots for them as well. So I think that aura and that mystique, that whole, all that window dressing has been let down. And I will tell you from experience, covering the Eagles 2017, when you're able to filter through all of that, you have a legitimate chance. And there are teams that don't filter through that, and they end up, what's the old Asian warrior where he talked about how oftentimes the battle is won before it's fought?
Sun Tzu.
This is an example of how the battle's won before it's fought. So that being said, Mike Vrabel, even though he spent all the time there, you know, there's only three guys on that roster, Julian Edelman, James White, and Benjamin Watson, that have caught more touchdown passes from Tom Brady than Mike Vrabel. Little nugget that we just drop on you. You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, we sprinkle you with that. But that being said, Vrabel said, look, man, it's not about me. I'm not lining up to sack Tom Brady. It's not about my career there. What it's about is the preparation and effort that this team is putting in to go up there to what he called a Viper's Den and beat the Patriots. I absolutely love that. I think that's really good that he has an understanding, and it just the perspective is right. Now, here's the other thing. Styles make fights. I think this team, with their style of play, their physical style of play, their short passing game that results into explosive plays, their stout defense, the kicking game is something that I wonder about. But outside of that, I think they're a pack-and-play team where, you know, it's literally like parents. You know what I'm talking about. You got that pack-and-play, right? You unpack it when you go someplace, and it's an instant playpen for your little one. It's pack-and-play. That's what this team is. So I think that is a good thing. But one of the other things that are keys to this game is the turnovers. That's huge. And to a man – when you talk to this defense, they tell you it's all about creating turnovers. They'll tell you that the teams that they saw win in the playoffs last year typically won the turnover battle. So let's hear from Mike Brable and see what he had to say about that. Check this out.
Running plays than there are on passing plays, and turnovers at this point of the year are critical. The last game the Patriots lost was January 20th, 2013 in the playoffs at home. And they had three turnovers and the Ravens had zero. So, you know, it's a telling stat.
So he said it right there. It's a telling stat, man. The Baltimore Ravens. And I tell you, if there's any team that goes up to New England and wins, it's the Ravens. But here's the thing that's pretty cool. This Titans team is built a lot like that Ravens team. Those Raven teams that went up there and found success. They ran the football. They were physical on defense. However, Justin Tucker is the best kicker ever. So that is an advantage that the Ravens have. But fundamentally, this team is very similar to those Ravens teams. This is why I feel this team has a shot. I really do. Then the other thing, there's a little bit of a revenge factor. Not that really, has a lot to do with the outcome of the game. But the reason why I say the revenge factor is they've already been up there and experienced the playoff atmosphere. So now that initial shock and awe, I don't think is there. And that goes back to the part where I talked about the mystique being broken down. It goes back to what we said about the battle being won before it's fought. Derrick Henry was asked today, what are your memories from going up there? We lost. That's what he said. Taylor Lewan, you know, he said he remembers losing. He wants to go up there and avenge that. You know, Jarrell Casey, actually, what he said vibed pretty well with the whole concept of turnovers that Mike Vrabel had mentioned. You know what, Elijah? Let's go ahead and see what Jarrell Casey had to say. Bonus coverage right here. Check it out.
We had those guys, we wanted them, and we made one mistake that allowed them dudes to get comfortable and back into that game, and they ran away with it. As long as we eliminate the mistakes that in any game, we always come out.
So that tells you right there, you have to eliminate the mistakes that you have in any game. Now, getting back to the aura and to the mystique, right? That's something that you have to look at. Rashawn Evans is a young player in this league. He had his share of big games at Alabama, but he's another one that gets hyped, man. Before games, he is turned all the way up. So he has to make sure that he's able to stay even keel. I asked him just about walking into this hornet's nest, this viper's den that Mike Vrabel calls. So check out Rashawn Evans.
This is going to be your first time going up to New England, obviously a playoff situation. Yeah. What do you think about that environment?
Oh, it's gonna be crazy. I mean, being able to play against one of the great quarterbacks of this league, man, Tom Brady, is gonna be. I know the excitement is gonna be at its max peak. So, I mean, I don't know if it's anything like the playoffs of back in college when I was playing at Bama, but I do know that everything is on the line. You lose, you go home. If you win, you keep advancing. So. I'm excited about that.
You got to lay your eyes on that offense during training camp. Mm-hmm. Anything you could recall from that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, just being able to, play a game and being able to, minimize the mistakes. They're an offense that, they use everything against you as far as all the things that you do wrong. And, if you can minimize any mistakes as far as giving them opportunities to be able to capitalize on that, you'll find yourself in a really good position.
Mistakes, that's something else that comes up. But I wanted to play Rashawn also because he mentioned training camp. These teams were together in training camp. Now, there were times where Tom Brady was picking this defense apart. But there were also times where I saw them confuse Tom Brady as far as rotating their defense, just the same way they did it to Deshaun Watson and Kenny Vaccaro had his interception. You show a single post safety, you rotate into cover two man. Right? Or pure cover two. These are things that they have been able to do to confuse multiple quarterbacks. It happened against Brady in training camp. But again, he had his way too. So I'm not saying that, again, it's a slam dunk or a layup. I am saying this game is going to be a very competitive game. I'm looking forward to watching it. I want to see, you know, how both of these teams have progressed from training camp. It's much worthy of a primetime game. So I'm excited about covering that as well. We're going to go to a break. We'll come right back and we're going to wrap this thing up.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byer, and I'm talking with TD.
I gotta let that play a little bit. You thought I had a sweet pick, anticipate that I might be sick. Now who's? Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's that brand Nubian. That is way, 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 way back. That Get Hype music right there. That's the stuff make you want to box somebody. Talking with TD, you know what we do every week? Old school hip hop, pure, unadulterated, raw. Talking shop, NFL talk, Titans specifically. All right, so in wrapping up, I just want to say before this game why I feel this season was a success. 9-7 record, good to great. We know that's the mantra. That's what they want to apply. But I think they launched themselves towards greatness. And I think because of the fact that they found so many younger players, so many cornerstones for this franchise, A.J. Brown, right? Derek Henry, you got to lock him up. Jeffrey Simmons, I think, is outstanding. Derek Robinson is up and coming. Corey Davis has shown signs of life. I want to see how he matures into that 1A role. So that's a dope thing. Ryan Tannehill. I think this season was a success just because the foundation has been planted for them to be better. So that's all a part of the good to great. It was a step that they took. Also, you have to look at it. It's a tale of two seasons. You have the 2-4 Titans. And you have the 7-3 Titans. I don't know. The 7-3 Titans look pretty good. We're going to find out how good they are this weekend when they face the Patriots. But, you know, like always, Elijah, we talk a lot of good stuff. It's a lot of flowers and roses, but we also got to keep it 100. We got to find that balance. So that means it's time for the segment that I know you guys love to hear. Let me get that music, Elijah. Yeah, yeah, too short. You heard what he said. Blow the whistle. All right, man. This week, I am blowing the whistle. Man, you know what? It's kind of crazy that I'm doing it, but, hey, I'm blowing the whistle on Arthur Smith. He caught an outstanding game. Outstanding game. But, he brought Marcus Mariota in. Mariota had the 24-yard pass to A.J. Brown. That's what put A.J. over 1,000. Ryan Tannehill was 8 yards short of 2,750 yards. Cost him $250,000.
You think they talked about that after the game? He had to. Ryan Tannehill had to know, right?
I asked him about it, and he played it off like he didn't know. I mean, the guy gave me more information about his outfit than the $500,000 that he had up. He was like, oh, yeah, you know, my pants, I got the Aggie. I got the Aggie red and the Titans blue. I'm like, bro, I'm not trying to hear that.
What you should have said is that you could have gotten more if you had gotten $5,000. You could add more to that suit.
See that? See that? That's why they call you the mailman. You always deliver.
Always deliver,
you always
man.
Deliver.
I'm always delivering.
Nevertheless, I'm blowing the whistle on Arthur Smith, Coach Art. You know you're my guy, though, but at the same time, we have to be objective. We'll see what happens as far as that bonus is concerned. I think the Titans are going to do the right thing and pay him, but you know, like I said, we'll see what happens. Folks, that's the show. We are on the road to Boston. I'm staying in Boston, not Providence. I'm going to the Cheers bar. I'm going to have me in the Old Duels, right? I don't drink alcohol, so I'm going to get an Old Duels in the Cheers bar. I'm going to look for Norm. I know he's nowhere to be found, but, you know, I'm just looking forward to this game. I'm looking forward to just going up there. So, folks, I appreciate it's been an awesome year. It's been an awesome year. I feel like I got to grow some here in this market. I feel like you guys have grown closer to me. I've grown closer to each of you. I appreciate the support you guys give me on Twitter, ESPN.com, everywhere, Facebook, IG. Man, I love y'all, each and every one of you. So thank you for following along. I'm saying it like the year is over. We don't know if the year is going to be over or not. I think the Titans win. I am going with 17-14 Titans to win this game. Next week, on to Baltimore. That's what Mike Vrabel was going to say. And there you have it. Stay tuned, folks. Be sure to follow. Elijah, I appreciate you. Happy New Year, everyone. Let's go.